Imagine a small barrier island where the ghosts of enslaved people still guard their sanctuary against the modern world. This is Dark Isle, a mysterious patch of land between Florida and Georgia with a history as turbulent as the waters surrounding it. When Hurricane Leo creates a natural sand bridge to the mainland, developers see dollar signs, luxury condos, resorts, and a casino they'll rebrand as Panther Cay. But they're about to learn that some places resist being bought and sold. The island's last living descendant, 80-year-old Lovely Jackson, claims ownership through her ancestors who escaped slavery centuries ago. What unfolds is not just a legal battle over property rights, but a reckoning with America's darkest history and the resilience of those who survived it. In Camino Ghosts, John Grisham weaves a tale where the past isn't just prologue, it's a living, breathing force that demands justice across centuries. The story of Dark Isle begins with Nala, a young African woman forced onto the slave ship Venus in 1760. After surviving the Middle Passage, Nala and a few women wash ashore on Dark Isle following a shipwreck near Georgia, finding refuge among escaped slaves. When three white men from the shipwreck are captured, including Monk, a sailor who had repeatedly assaulted Nala, she enacts revenge through a powerful voodoo ritual. Using his blood, she curses any white man who ventures onto their island, creating a hex to protect their sanctuary for generations. "The blood stays in the sand," Lovely explains centuries later. "No white man has ever set foot on that beach and lived." The curse persists. When Tidal Breeze Corporation sends ex-special forces to survey the island, all four develop mysterious symptoms within hours, fever, cramps, and flesh-eating bacteria, and perish. Developers dismiss these deaths as accidents, but locals know better. Dark Isle protects its own. Lovely Jackson, now 80, lives modestly near the former voodoo village. Wearing vibrant robes and a shark's tooth necklace, she visits the harbor nightly to gaze at Dark Isle. "I was born there April 7, 1940," her deposition states. "My mother was Ruth Jackson, who died of cancer in 1971. We left the island in 1955 when I was 15. We were the last two. Everyone else had died." Her self-published memoir chronicles eight generations on Dark Isle, from Nala through centuries of resistance. Slave catchers faced deadly force. In 1850, after a plantation owner bombarded the island and sent armed men ashore, their mutilated bodies appeared in drifting rowboats the next day. Without official records, no birth certificates, taxes, or schools, Lovely's claim faces skepticism. Is she inventing stories, as developers suggest, or preserving an oral history too painful for America to acknowledge? The truth lies in Dark Isle's overgrown paths and hidden graves, if discoverable before the bulldozers arrive. When bookstore owner Bruce Cable introduces Lovely's story to author Mercer Mann, a powerful alliance forms. Stephen Mahan, a 70-year-old former Sierra Club litigator, now running the Barrier Island Legal Defense Fund, agrees to represent Lovely through adverse possession. If you occupy property openly for 7 years, you can claim ownership. Mercer decides to write a book about Dark Isle based on Lovely's memoir. When Viking offers $250,000, Lovely requests just 25% to restore her ancestor's cemetery and clean the island. Stephen's intern, Guyanne Krug, becomes instrumental after studying the memoir. She identifies witnesses and plans an expedition to Dark Isle with experts to locate the cemetery, find graves, and test DNA to prove Lovely's connection. "If I go, things will be okay," Lovely insists. "I can release the curse if I'm there. And you couldn't find the cemetery without me anyway." These allies are driven by both legal principle and the power of Lovely's story of erased history. Under a full moon, the expedition anchors near Dark Isle. Lovely conducts a beach ritual with tiki torches, invoking her ancestors, Nala, Candace, Sabra, Maria, Adora, Charity, Essie, and her mother Ruth. She prays for Nala to lift the curse as Diane and Mercer watch, their skepticism diminishing in the moment's power. The island is nearly impenetrable. Dense jungle, fallen trees from Hurricane Leo, rattlesnakes, and insect swarms obstruct their path. Yet Lovely moves confidently, leading them to what appears to be a cemetery, with shallow graves containing small bones, missing skulls, and feet. "These are children," Lovely explains. "After Nala died, a fever killed most children on the island. They were buried hurriedly. Dr. Sargent documents everything, hoping to find DNA linking Lovely to these remains. 6 days later, only 2 of 8 samples were viable, neither matching Lovely's DNA. Still, the expedition reveals a community that lived here, with burial practices showing both African traditions and Christian influences. These weren't just memoir stories, but real people whose remains rest in Dark Isle's soil." The courtroom falls silent as Lovely takes the stand in a striking red robe and yellow-striped turban. She describes her Dark Isle childhood, the routines, community, and frequent deaths. When asked why she wrote her memoir, she answers simply, "So my people will never be forgotten. So many of the slave stories have not been told." When Tidal Breeze's attorney highlights inconsistencies in dates and names, Lovely responds, "We didn't have schoolhouses or teachers. The state didn't care about us." Dr. Sargent testifies about their expedition findings, approximately 80 graves, some with deteriorated wooden caskets. Despite Hurricane Leo submerging the island and damaging evidence, the facts remain clear. People lived and died on Dark Isle. The New York Times transforms a local dispute into national news. African burial site thwarts land grab by Florida developer. Judge Birch confirms title to Dark Isle in Lovely's name. Tidal Breeze withdraws development plans in honor and memory of the enslaved people. Justice arrives on Dark Isle, nearly 3 centuries after Nala's curse first protected her people. The Nala Foundation secures $1 million in funding, with another $320,000 raised since inception. Dr. Sargent's team conducts their second archaeological dig after recovering 38 graves initially. The remains are documented and sealed for reburial. During a site visit, Lovely asks Diane if she can eventually be buried with her people on Dark Isle, a request carrying centuries of meaning to return home and rest with ancestors who fought for freedom. In late August, Lovely suffers a stroke and dies at 82, the last descendant of Dark Isle's people. Following her wishes, her ashes are placed in her cherished African vase and buried during Thanksgiving at the restored cemetery, now containing over 120 reburied remains. What began with a curse ends with a blessing. Dark Isle remains undeveloped, its history preserved. Mercer's book, The Passage, becomes a #1 bestseller, ensuring these stories endure. In a world rushing toward development, the most powerful act is remembering those who came before and the ground they consecrated.